Glenn, good to be here, Steve.
Coach,
Fred,
Coach, you look well rested.
Yeah. What'd you get? An hour and a half, two hours sleep?
That was a short night. It was a short night.
After a win, it's not a big problem, is it? After a loss, it might be a killer. But
you feel a lot worse. feel a lot worse, and you have fewer points.
Yeah, that hour and a half flight to Pittsburgh all of a sudden would be about three. Feel like 3.5-4 hours if you lose the game.
That's right.
You know, one of the things we were talking about earlier is you preparing for games. You know, because you have such a choppy schedule. But considering you won all these years, you're kind of used to that schedule, as opposed to a team that loses is always on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock. You guys are on Thursday, on Sunday night, on Sunday afternoon, Sunday at 1 o'clock, Monday night. That schedule must wear the hell out of you.
Well, you know, one of the things we try to do is in the off season when we know we have a short week, we, you know, really try to make sure we put a little bit of extra time into those teams in the off season, and just not that we don't do it with everybody, but really put a little more into those and make sure that we, you know, we have a real good basis when we start the process with the team that we are, you know, have everything that we can get already from last year and the off season, and, you know, thoughts and talking to other, you know, other coaches and so forth, that you get all that done ahead of time as much as you can, so that, you know, you're going to be crammed for time as it is when you're on a short week. So, you know, we try to do that. You know, next week at Detroit will be a good example of that.
Short, real short week, and then you get the 10 days between that game and the Jets game. It's kind of crazy. Short week 1 week and a long week the next week.
Right, and then a short week after
short
the Jets.
Short week after
yeah,
that.
So, yeah, but again, when you look at your schedule at the beginning of the season, you see three or four of those, whatever it is, and you try to make sure that you know do that work so that when you get to those games, you have as much information as you can. You still got a lot to do, but at least you get a jump on it.
Let's start by talking about the defense last night and the pressure that you guys put on Roethlisberger. And you seem to use a lot of different people, a lot of different combinations. You went into the game with, what, three corners, is that right?
Yes.
And then you used a lot of safeties. I noticed Vince was sitting on the sidelines at times in the nickel and dime package. But the whole game plan and the way you devised it was right from the get-go to put tremendous pressure on a quarterback, get to him or contain him and put pressure on him in the pocket.
Well, believe it or not, Glenn, we go into every game trying to put pressure on the quarterback.
Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, we never go into the game saying, well, let's let this guy stand back there and throw. We don't really want to put any pressure on him. So, again, you know, our players, we got some good pressure on it. They rushed well, certainly being ahead in the game. The score was advantageous. We had some long yardage situations. There was a couple of, you know, second and 20s, third and 20s, third and 50, whatever it was. So that always helps the pass rush. And, you know, ultimately I thought our, particularly in the early part of the game, that our coverage did a good job of getting on the receiver so that he didn't have anybody real early to throw the ball to cleanly, like on Ward's pass over the middle where James Sanders hit him, plays like that, we had guys pretty close so that on other plays like that, he had to hold the ball, and that gave our rush a little bit extra time to get there. So it was, you know, good team defense, and some of those, some of the hits on the quarterback and the sacks actually came, I think, from him holding the ball, not that we just broke clean on the pass rush, but they had to pull it down.
Does he have a reputation of holding onto the ball longer than some other quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he's one of the very best in the league at it, of keeping plays alive. He does a good job of maneuvering in the pocket, and, of course, he's so strong, he can just stiff arm and knock those tacklers down, hang on to the ball and extend the play and make plays down the field. He does a great job of that.
And all that would factor into your game planning?
Well, we try to simulate it in practice. Yeah. It's hard to have a bent, but in terms of making sure that our coverage players understand that the ball doesn't just come out on time, like, mm-hmm. for example, it usually does with Manning, as
right.
an example. With Roethlisberger, if the guys are open, he'll zip it out the right way, but if they're not, then he's perfectly willing to stay in there or, you know, move around in the pocket to buy more time. The receivers scramble, have their scramble rules, they uncover, and it's certainly challenging for the defense to match up with those guys, and they're very good at it. They obviously do a lot of it, and they're very good at finding open spaces and uncovering on the patterns or getting deep like Wright did behind us on the touchdown pass. So it's a different style of passing game that they have. When the receivers are covered, if they're open, they throw it to them like everybody else does. But if they're not, then the play extends, and it's they do a good job with those.
He doesn't want to throw the ball away.
No, he really doesn't. No, I think he would rather take the sack than just throw it away.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times he throws it away as he's getting sacked, and yep. he avoids the sack that way. So he has a lot of confidence in his ability to be able to stay on his feet and get rid of the ball at the last minute, and every once in a while he doesn't, but the other times he makes plays that make up for that.
Coach, that offensive line was big. They had some injuries, but they didn't seem to be very have good feet. They didn't move real well. With some of your pass rush, you had some slants. You offset the center, the nose tackle. You had some linebacker blitzes. Was any of that geared towards the look like their lack of mobility laterally? It looked like a big, more running type offense of line. Yeah. So was any of that predicated towards their lack of movement laterally?
Yeah, well, sure, absolutely, Fred. I think this is not a team that, you know, I don't think you want to line up there and say, okay, let's see if we can power rush flows Al Adams. I don't think that's going to happen. Foster's a big guy. You know, really all our offensive linemen other than Pouncey are, you know, I'd say 350 and up. You know, they've got a huge group. So, you know, Scott, the new left tackle, but he's another, you know, enormous guy. Essex. So, you know, I don't think you just want to try to line up on those guys and see if you can power rush them back. You want to try to, just like you said, offset, get on the edge, make them move, make them pick you up in the gaps, mix in some games in there and try to keep them off balance with that. But that's why it's so important for a team like Pittsburgh to get the running game going, to be able to force you defensively to not be in a big pass rush mode, but to really, you know, take care of the running game, be in more of a run technique front, and then once they can get you in front of them and clamp on, they're hard guys to get around. They're big. They're real big.
Tight ends were a big part of the game last night. Obviously, Gronkowski had himself the three touchdowns. But how valuable were they in pass protection as well? It seemed like you guys really controlled the outside the edge.
Well, very valuable. They had a big part in it. And of course, when you have good outside linebackers like Pittsburgh does with Woodley and Harrison, who you've really got to account for on every play. I mean, one of the problems with them is just the fact that when they get started on the rush, you know, they get 2, 3, 4 steps into the rush where they can build up a lot of speed and momentum, and then get into their pass rush moves is it's a problem for anybody to block them a tackle or. But again, by having a tight end that can be up on the line and take those guys on early, kind of get them before they get started, sometimes with help from the tackle, sometimes without it, sometimes with a play fake, but just being able to get on them a little bit quicker was certainly a big factor in the game planning for the Steelers.
Coach, one of the plays we watched yesterday was the law firm play action pass to him, and then him going out behind the backers and getting the ball. Was that because the backers had a hug blitz with jumping into the line, or what was behind that?
Well, one of the things Pittsburgh does is they play a lot of zone coverage and they play some blitz zone coverage. But, you know, anytime you have a zone coverage, you, for the most part, you're fairly balanced across the field. And what happened on a couple of those plays the law firm, as you refer to Benny, was the fourth receiver. So there were three receivers over there. Then he faked, and he became the fourth receiver. So we actually overloaded the zones. And when the defense dropped back to take the deeper patterns with Welker and Gronkowski, then that left Ben Jarvis open underneath. And had they come up to get him, we would have had a high-low matchup. And on you know, twice it was the same thing where Tom dumped the ball off to Ben Jarvis, and then Gronkowski, you know, very alertly, when he saw the pass thrown, then he turned back inside, blocked the linebacker, blocked Foot, blocked Timmons, and then Benny was able to turn up and turn it into, you know, I think double-digit yardage. So those are really overloaded formations against or overloaded patterns against Pittsburgh's zone coverage.
The amount of participation by Gronkowski in the passing game, was that something to get him involved again after a disappointing game last week, or did that just something that appeared in the in your preparation for the game, something you saw would work?
You know, I think the kind of the overall plan, Steve, is kind of like it usually is to get everybody involved, to be able to have everybody involved in the game, in the passing game, and then depending on how the coverage goes, then throw the ball to the guy with the best matchup. And In Gronk's case there, the first touchdown really came, both touchdowns actually came against the corner, against Gay. And, you know, that's a tough matchup for a corner against a, you know, a 6'6", 260-some-pound tight end. They can run with them, but they just have trouble with their size and their overall target because there are so many places you can put the ball to a receiver that big that, you know, smaller guys just can't get around them to get it. So really, both of those came on that matchup. Tom saw the matchup and really used Rob's size to, you know, be able to put the ball where he could get it, and Gay really couldn't. The play-action pass, he just came open in the flat after the play fake and looked like Pittsburgh kind of lost him there. But so, you know, it wasn't with we never go into the game saying, okay, this guy's going to catch 10 balls, this guy's going to catch 8, this guy's going to catch 6, this guy's going to catch 2. You know, that all depends on how the formation or how they defend the formation, how the coverage is set, and then who's open, and that's who Tom will throw it to.
Coach, over the years, I think you've thrown more against them than any other team. You throw 73% of the time. When you spread it out and they get to bring those backers out to cover whoever, does that help with their blitz packs? It takes them out of it a little bit because you get them spread out?
Well, I'd say one of two things, Fred. It either takes them out of it or it declares who's coming. I mean, they can't get out there and cover the slot and blitz at the same time. Or if they come, they're coming from so far away that it really takes away from the rush. So they've either got to do one or the other. It forces them to declare whether they're in coverage or whether they're in the rush. And then based on that, then that helps the quarterback, decide where Tom's going to go with the ball and whether how threatened he feels by the rush and by the blitz. Now, last night, they gave us, against those empty formations, they actually gave us a lot of three-man rush. So, the good news on that is the outside linebackers, who are, two of the top pass rushers in the league, weren't coming. Of course, the bad news is they got eight guys in coverage, so there's less space to throw in. But, it's that kind of trade-off that that's the kind of game you play. And if you they think there's something to be said for, making their best rushers play in coverage, at the same time, it cuts down the space that you have to throw. So, you've got to find something that works into that kind of coverage.
Troy Polamalu makes a lot of big plays that turn games around. Last night he looked like he was guessing wrong a majority of the time. How much is that because maybe he was seeing something that was a little bit different? And how much can you maybe goat him a little with his over-pursuit to do something that he doesn't want to do?
No, Glenn. I really didn't see it that way. I thought that he was close to making a few plays that he just couldn't quite get to. In a lot of cases, where his primary responsibility really wouldn't have put him there, but he saw the play and reacted to it. He was just a half a step late getting there. And that being said, he probably was there, three steps closer than most any other safety would have been. But he's a very instinctive player, and I really don't think he, was caught out of position a lot of times. I think there were some plays that went away from him that he almost got to, but he couldn't quite get there. I think there were probably more of those plays than plays where he really was just, totally faked out of position.
Now, that quarterback sneak by Tom in the goal line, is that his option or was that a pre-call?
Well, I think Tom kind of always has that option. He's not afraid to sneak it, particularly on a short yardage or in a goal line situation that – you've seen him do that plenty of times in the past. He almost always makes it. And so I think when Tom sees something that he feels like he can take advantage of, whether it's him carrying the ball or calling a play and running play and giving it to somebody else, if the defense is soft in that area, that he's not afraid to take advantage of that. Or at the same time, if it's a running play called and there's a lot of defenders stacked in the hole, that he'll throw the ball outside to a receiver, which happened a couple times last night, when it looks like the running play to him doesn't really have much of a chance. So, there's definitely an element of that.
Was it part of the original game plan to rotate in the amount of defensive players, especially in the front seven? It seemed like you were rotating in more than I'd seen all season.
Well, I think, one of the things that we anticipated in the game, Steve, was that they would no-huddle us mm-hmm. out of their three wide receiver, one tight end, one back set with Heath Miller and whoever the back was, whether that was Moore or Mendenhall. So we expected that, and we didn't feel like we could just substitute on that, to go nickel, dime, like whatever we had, we'd probably have to leave out there. But we thought that if there was a, an incomplete pass or a play close to our sideline, that we'd be able to sub a couple guys in and out just within that series. So there was definitely part of that. And then when we are in our different packages, our regular defense, our nickel, our dime, well, then, of course, those subbed out, like on third down or some long yardage situations. So. I'd say that the normal third down substitution was, probably about like it's always been, relatively speaking. The no huddle was a little more of running guys in and out without actually changing the group, just changing the individuals within the group because of the no huddle situation.
Mendenhall got that big 34-yard run, but other than that, you guys kept him in check. Obviously, later on in the game, they're not running the football as much. But did you really do – especially off of last week, we look at the Cleveland game and what Hillis was able to do against you guys. Really did a good job of stopping that run this week.
Yeah, we got some big plays early. You know, I thought Mayo had a big play when he made the tackle in the backfield. Really, Vince caused that play because he forced the cutback, Drod shot in there, and made the hit in the backfield. They tried to run off tackle a couple times early in the game, and we did a pretty good job on those. Our secondary, Chung, McCourty, Arrington, those guys did a good job of tackling. Like you said, it was just really the one play that shot out of there where we had a free guy, but we kind of got screened off, and Spikes kind of bumped into McCourty there, and he's able to get through and get down to Merriweather. But overall, our team run defense was pretty solid. But again, that's really what it comes down to. It's team defense. No one guy can stop the running game, and if one gap's open, a good back will find it, which Mendenhall is. So it's really everybody taking care of their job and doing a good job of tackling.
Let me ask you a question about McCourty in the goal line. They call him for illegal hit. And it was Vince that ended up hitting him. It didn't seem like he was downfield. Was he at the line of scrimmage and the receiver came close and hit him, or was that legitimate? Because it didn't look like Vince was downfield that far.
No, it's hard to tell on the coach's copy, really, what the call is. I guess they called it on McCourty. It doesn't look like McCourty hardly ever touched him. So mm-hmm.
Vince hit him.
Yeah, Vince hit him. Vince hit him hard, but he was within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. So, but they called it on McCourty, so maybe they saw something with Devin that you just can't. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have a good explanation for that.
Wait a minute. Well, you mean Vince wasn't dropping out into zone coverage in a zone?
So it said it's 5 yards downfield. I said no, he wasn't. Vinny doesn't drop in coverage.
No, it was really a great play by Vince because we were in our goal line defense, and it was a play action pass, and there was some penetration. So Vince was coming behind the slide of the line. He was coming behind it, and he saw the crossing receiver, I think it was Sanders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he just saw him coming and just instinctively, hit him. It was a great play. It was, you've never coached anything like that. He just saw him and did the right thing and hit him. And
said he was well aware that he was within the 5 yards, so he thought he could legally.
But the ref wasn't.
Right?
Well, yeah, he was just coming off the line of scrimmage, really coming around. He wasn't that far from getting into the pass rush.
Right.
And he saw him coming and he made a great play and hit him. And, like I said, if they called the penalty on Devin, I'm not really sure what it was. It's hard to see from our tape so high. Yeah. You don't get the TV close up. I haven't seen that yet, but it's hard to really see what he was doing. I didn't think Vince's play was a foul at all.
Don't worry, Coach. We'll take care of it.
I'd be willing to bet the referee hadn't seen many nose tackles taking out a receiver downfield.
Here's the problem though. Nose tackle instincts. You really underrate them.
No, I don't. I rate them exactly.
Here's a nose tackle that can take out a receiver.
We deal with them for 4 hours here on a Monday. We know exactly what we're getting. How about your kicking game yesterday? Were you impressed or happy with what you got?
Well, I thought we had our moments. Overall, our punting, I thought Zoltan had a pretty good day. The touchback, we had a good chance to down that ball. We just didn't get it. I think it was a good kick. Our protection was all right. I mean, it wasn't perfect. We had a couple problems with it, but it was good enough to get them off. And the field goals and all that was, it was all right. It wasn't obviously perfect. We missed an extra point. You never want to see that happen. We just need to keep working on it, but. And I thought there was, the kick at the end, that was a big kick now. That was a big play, to make it a, 13-point game. So, we saw the trouble that Reed had, on that short kick, too. I mean, it was a little bit like the Houston game last year where, everybody had trouble kicking on that field. It looks like everybody has trouble kicking on this field, too. So, again, overall, our timing and consistency with the snapper, holder, and kicker or the snapper, the punter, and overall protection and all certainly can improve. I thought Shane did a decent job on the kickoffs, got the ball up in the air, directional kicked it. So it was, it was a good start. Hopefully we can build on it and be better this week.
All right, quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the Indianapolis Colts. That's coming up next here on Patriots Monday. Back here on Patriots Monday, I'm Glenn Ordway, Freddie Smirlis, Steve DiAsi, and the coach, Bill Belichick, the Indianapolis Colts. This is like back-to-back divisional games, even though they're not in the division.
Rivals.
Seen so much of these guys.
San Diego, there's three non-division division games.
Another one. Yeah. All right, how much has anything changed? No Clark, no Colley. Obviously, Peyton Manning's there, and Tammy's catching the ball. Tell us, have they changed at all, or are they running virtually all the same stuff?
I think they're running their offense. They've done a great job of taking some players with less experience in their system and putting them in there. They've also done a great job of taking a great player like Reggie Wayne and putting him in some different positions and making it a little harder defensively to find or know exactly where he's going to be. But again, it starts with Peyton. He does a great job of running the offense and getting the offense into plays that that are hard for the defense to defend, and the ones that they can defend, he doesn't run those. He finds something else on that down to run in one way or another, whether it's another part of the play or changing. So I think when you watch him play, you look at him and you're going to recognize him and say, this is the Colts. There's just some names that you're not as familiar with, but they do what they do.
Unlike the Burger, who you said sits in the pocket and waits, he seems, Manning, read so quickly and find the open guy and finds the weakness in the defense as fast as any quarterback ever seen and unloads it. He's not going to wait for the rush to get him. And traditionally, people don't blitz him as much because he can read so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. It's the combination of he has good plays on against your defense, and because they're good plays, he sees it, he gets rid of the ball, and it's out of there. He doesn't take many hits. And they do a great job of attacking whatever defense you're in. They do a good job of attacking it. They don't have the right play called, then they can change it and get to one. And he's you can say, well, you can disguise him and you can fool him and all that, but he's seen a lot of it, and he's right most of the time.
When you sit down and try to devise a game plan, because you've faced him so many times right now, you've had some success, he's had some success. Do you change stuff up anymore, Bill? Have you run out of ideas right now on how you can deal with this guy? Obviously, as Fred said, maybe put more guys in protection, but in coverage. But how do you deal with him? Do you change up at all?
Well, I think you've got to, you know, it depends on what you have. I think that's the main thing. You kind of know where they're going to be, kind of. And then you decide with what the players and you have and the scheme that you have, what is the best way to defend them. And hopefully you have the things in your defensive system that you feel comfortable playing against them. But if not, if you have to put in a new thing or something, then you can do that and just, you know, have it for that particular game. But I think really what it comes down to is what players, because whatever players you put out there, they're going to have to play the whole game. If they lead that same group on the field, then you might have to play the whole game because they're not going to let you substitute. So you can't put in regular on one down and then nickel the next down. If they don't sub, they're not going to let you bring them in. So you've got to be ready to live with whatever you have, first down, second down, third down, just like they do. And I think that's where they get you, is they find the mismatches in your personnel or in your scheme, and then they continue to exploit them until you do something about them. And then once you do something about those, then that inevitably creates something somewhere else, and that's kind of the way they try to attack you.
Well, they're not traditionally a running team. They use that lag draw, the delayed handoff, as their running play to keep the pressure off.
Well, yeah, their key running play is the outside zone play, right, which they run that on a consistent basis away from wherever the run force is. So wherever the secondary is, they'll attack you with that to the other side, and that creates some run force issues from your coverage players. And if you're too fast to force those, then they play action and throw the ball down the field. So they do a good job of, they have the complementary plays. It's one thing about the Colts, if they run something and you stop it, then they've got something they're going to come back to that you probably can't stop in that same defense.
How much of the stuff does what he says at the line of scrimmage, is Barbra Streisand or is it real? BS.
I think I don't think they change that many plays. I think most of the plays they have called, they end up running. But a lot of that conversation at the line of scrimmage is just for him to confirm or make sure that the defense is in fact what he thinks it is. And then if it isn't, then he will change it. But if he, goes through his cadence and feels like, okay, the play we have is a good play, I like this play, they'll stay with it, and that's by far the majority of the time. But every once in a while, he won't like the way it looks, and he'll go to something else.
Are his Peyton Manning's receivers reading your defense, or are they just doing what he's calling at the line of scrimmage?
I'd say for the most part, they run the play, the pattern that he has called, but he'll adjust the pattern based on what coverage he thinks you're in. Mm-hmm. Now, they do a good job of running double moves, too. They'll run the in and goes, the out and goes. They'll come in and hook up over the ball and then go. So, again, if you stop one play, if you sit on a curl or you sit on an in and cut or corner sits on an out cut, then they'll double move you and get you back off it that way. So even if you're in position to stop one of those, it's hard for that defender to stop it for very long because they run the complementary pattern.
They even have their tight ends, Tammy and Clark, doing that double move in the red zone a lot too.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. So, again, they go and they hook up on the goal line, and you want your defenders to hit that and be right there on the goal line with them so they can't just stuff it in there. And then the next time they hook on the goal line and throw it in the back of the end zone. So they do that with their outside receivers and their tight ends, and it's an effective way to – again, make sure that the defense, you have an answer to what they're doing.
Freeney and Mathis coming off the edge at home, obviously, with the loud noise, with your offense out there in the field, it gives them that quick little advantage. How different is it when they're playing on the road, and what can you do to maybe disrupt them a little bit?
Well, I think in the end, they're very disciplined. They've had all the hard counts and long cadences and short cadences and all that, and that goes for Hughes too, which he's the same type of guy, very fast guy off the edge, their first round draft pick from. But I think in the end it comes down to they move when the ball moves. So whatever the quarterback says or doesn't say or voice inflection and all that, in the end when that ball snapped, those guys have a good get off and they get off the ball. So whether you're at home or you're on the road, it still comes down to using the snap count and not giving them that extra advantage by letting them anticipate it, and then you have to block them. However you do that, whether that's with your tackles, with your tight ends, with your backs chipping, whether however you want to deal with those guys, you got to deal with them from a pass protection standpoint, because they, they're just the one-on-one matchups are hard.
How hard is this defense as far as their speed goes? They're not as strong, but they do run to the ball very well. And you have to design plays, obviously, to take advantage of them. But how fast are they and how good are they compared to the pass defense you played against them?
Well, they're very different. I think that's the big thing. They're different, really, than any defense we played against this year. They have real good, I'd say probably maybe more similar to what we used to see from Buffalo, but that type of defense where they have a lot of fast guys that can really pursue quickly to the ball. And it looks like those zones underneath are open, but they close very quickly because of their anticipation and their quick reaction. So, you'd like to be able to hold the ball and throw it down the field and attack the deep part of the field, but that's hard to do with the pass rush. And so that can, lead to strip sacks and turnovers and tip balls and all those kind of things. So, I think that's what makes them hard to play against. Certainly they're hard to play against when they get ahead, and that's a big strength for them, is just being able to, rush the passer and make you play from behind. So that's definitely not where you want to be. You want to make them defend the run, the pass, screens, everything in your offense. It's a hard team to play from, 10, 14 points behind.
All right, Fred, time for the coach's question of the week. It's brought to you by AutoTrader.com. Now compare new and used cars side by side at AutoTrader.com, the ultimate automotive marketplace and proud partner of Patriots football. You're up.
Coach, Steve has bugged you about the Logan Mankins thing for a long time. How much different was the offensive line as far as aggressiveness? Because this guy was the physical leader of that team, and it looked like they were playing at a higher level. How much difference does his presence make to that aggressiveness?
Well, he's a real good football player. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I don't know how you can. I don't know how I could quite answer your question, Fred, other than percentages or anything like that. But just in terms of having him out there, he's a top player. He's strong in the running game. He gets good movement off the line of scrimmage. He's strong in the passing game. He doesn't get pushed back. The pocket's there for the quarterback to step up into. He's a very smart player in terms of seeing line stunts and blitzes and things like that. Can pull and get out into space on the power plays and the screen. So he's really a good football player. Does everything well. It's a great asset having him on the field. But all of our linemen and our guards, Dan and Steve Neal, who didn't play last night but has played a lot for us this year, Copen and Sebastian and Matt Light. I mean, all those guys have, they week in and week out, they do a real consistent job. And, everybody has a bad play or two here or there, but overall that group's been real solid for us, and they were again last night.
Yeah, kept Brady clean once again. He's not getting real dirty. That's for certain. Mm-hmm. All right, Coach, congratulations. That was fun last night, and we'll see you back here Monday after the Sunday afternoon again.
All right, sounds good.
Coach, enjoy your beans.
Thank you.
Coach Bill Belichick here on The Big Show.